any medium for work, essentially, is the first piece, where you can pour your energy into something that really matters to you. And then the second piece is figuring out, where do I want to talk about it? Not because you want to be self-promoting, but simply because you want to put your work out there for feedback, for opinions, and for value. And when people see that generosity, I think it tends to come back in turn.
Hey, friend, it's David Dubinsky here in New York City. You know, so many people follow the safe and traditional path, particularly right after college. The vast majority of quote-unquote top students go to work for one of the following buckets: consulting, corporate finance, or the technology sector. But what about those that don't? My guest today, Yash Tekrawal, is focused on helping that group of people. Yash graduated from the esteemed University of Virginia in 2018. I'm so grateful to learn more from Yash here. We were students together in Seth Godin's Alt MBA program. I was so impressed with his servant leadership approach, technological skills, and overall high energy and desire to help others. He is also the co-founder of Life School, a new immersive online education community program. In this episode, you'll learn how to build momentum in your career development, how you are likely more ready than you think to level up, and some insights that Yash has learned from many career development coaching calls that he has had from people that are just starting their careers. As always, this episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. So excited for you to build and grow your portfolio career. Here we go with Yash. So Yash, if we were to go to an event tonight, how do you typically introduce yourself?
It's an interesting question. Let's see. I typically introduce myself as, hey, I'm Yash. I work in education. It's great to meet you.
Nice. And we were students together in the Alt MBA, so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But one thing that I love is I've been a big fan of like catchy LinkedIn headline titles. And I love yours about rethinking career development. So maybe we could just start there in terms of like, what do you think is a problem and how are you thinking of trying to solve that aspect of things?
Yeah. So thanks for the compliment on the LinkedIn title, by the way. But for me, rethinking career development is really about the earlier stages of the career pipeline. I think we live in a world that is so rapidly changing when it comes to what jobs look like, how often we take jobs, what kinds of jobs are even available. And none of the resources that we had even 30 or 40 years ago have changed to keep up pace with that. Some good examples that I work with pretty regularly are university career services are still very focused on what is your first job out of college, and also still somewhat narrow, I think, in the scope that they provide. There's not a whole wealth of resources on helping people who now switch jobs every 3 to 5 years. And there's not a lot of resources on how to be a multi-potentialite, go between different industries and maybe experiment in a way that is becoming more and more popular for people in the job market.
Okay. And clearly I'm a fan of multi-potentialites as well. I love how it's on your website and you kind of touched on it there. You said, it seems like people are, and I know you've had a lot of calls with people that I think that's really generous of you that are, you know, recent grads out of college and are kind of thinking about next. Maybe talk to us about like, what are those calls like from your perspective, and how are you trying to guide people to think about, you know, their development journey a little bit more?
Yeah. So those calls run the gamut of people who know exactly what they think they want to do and are looking for very tactical, specific advice on how to get there, to people who say, I've thought about my career, it seems really scary, and I have no idea where to go from there because I'm just paralyzed by that fear. And I would say more of the conversations tend to fall on the latter side rather than the former. But a lot of the process there is really just asking people what they're interested in, what they're fearful of, very frankly, and why they're fearful of that. Because I think the biggest hurdle I often see with students in particular is that very first step to start preparing for what is completely unknown future is really intimidating. And so what often ends up happening is people keep putting off that work, that decision. It's easy to not work on your resume when you've got 10 homework assignments and 2 tests next week. It's easy to not think about what the different career options are. But when your field of knowledge is limited, most likely to what your parents were and maybe your friends' parents were, there's a lot of work that needs to go into developing what exists so you can figure out where you fit in that piece.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess, like, because you recently graduated from UVA 2018, right? And so, you know, when I graduated, I won't say the year, but 2006, when I graduated, it was work in corporate finance and or consulting. I worked in corporate finance, but I think it's really interesting how you really looked at consulting, and a lot of your friends were going into consulting, and you were kind of thinking about a different path or a different, maybe talk to us in terms of like why you were thinking that, as opposed to getting, call it a foundational type of a broad-based skill set through consulting.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the irony and part of the answer there is I think I can confidently say I've almost never met anyone who says, I'm going into consulting to become a principal consultant one day. The vast majority of my friends and the people that I know go into consulting because it's sold as you get a wide variety of experience, you get exposure to a lot of different ways of thinking, you develop the critical thinking skills that you need to essentially be successful anywhere in life. And that's somewhat true of the other jobs as well, the corporate finance, the tech. It's a promising launching pad to the rest of your career. And I love the work of Anand Giridharadas, which I probably butchered pronunciation-wise there. But he talks a lot about how that's really more a result of the fact that those types of companies can really spend that advertising and really spend that money to be there and send that message on college campuses. It's not necessarily a truism of the job that you're going to work. And so going back to what you were saying about why I thought I wanted a different path, I would challenge that and say I think many people see themselves ending up in different places after consulting. And the promise is go into consulting or finance or tech for 1 to 2 years, gain a skill set, earn a high paying salary, and then figure out your next steps anywhere else after. But what often happens is that there is no support from a corporate perspective because it's not in their interest to funnel you out into another position somewhere. And so I was actually sitting down and having a conversation with one of my friends about this very topic. We were both considering, I at the time consulting, he at the time finance. And we were having the conversation about where we saw ourselves 5 years from now, not two. And both of us said it would be cool to be working on something independent, interesting, and socially impactful. And then we had this awkward moment of tension between us where we looked at each other and said, what if we tried that first? Do you need to go through the first 2 years or 3 years to really get that grounding? And so that became the impetus for this large group of friends of mine who stayed behind in Charlottesville, which was where we went to school, and worked on all of these different ideas for different companies that we had.
Mm-hmm. And so to be clear on that, that's, you said independent, social impact, and what was the third one?
Something entrepreneurial in nature, because we both were part of an organization that helps learn or teach students how to build businesses.
Mm-hmm. And so the students that you talked to, and then we'll also want to talk about life school, but like, right. do you see people wanting to still go to those big schools, big jobs? And, you know, is there a way that you can help people to, you know, provide opportunities, or, you know, how can people get started if they say, I don't want to work at a large firm. I know I want to do something a little bit on my own, a little bit entrepreneurial, but how do they kind of make that transition or that gap between the two?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And I think it's got a couple of different potential paths. So the two that I see most often, not to say that there aren't others, but one is that, very frankly, it is really difficult to choose to do your own thing out of college, especially because I will fully acknowledge that I had the privilege of graduating debt-free because my parents were able to help fund a majority of my education. Not a lot of people have that. And I have friends who made that decision post-grad to try and get a venture off the ground. But when you stake your entire financial future with debt, with loans, on a company that will take time to grow, there is no overnight success Elon Musk story in the startup world. That's a tough equation. So the other way that I've seen a lot of people go is that most of these colleges, your UVAs, your Dukes, your UNCs, Michigan, Yale, Harvard, the list goes on. I think the numbers tend to be anywhere between 60 to 75% of students go into those three industries, consulting, finance, tech. And that begs the question, where are the other 25 to 30% of folks? A lot of them tend to find, well, grad school is one thing, so those people go that direction. And then the other ones are in smaller opportunities, startups, small business, local area companies, nonprofits. There's a wealth of opportunity out there because those companies really want the talent that is coming out of those types of colleges, but they can't afford the tables at the career fairs, the $12,000 that it takes to spend an hour with Stanford grads. And so it requires a little bit more energy on the individual to go and find those opportunities, to reach out and to say, hey, what would working here look like for me? There may not even be roles at those companies. And that's another stat that I'll throw out, right? 65% of jobs don't even get posted online. So it's really up to the job seeker to put themselves out there in a way that lends itself naturally to opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And can you share some ideas on how to, you know, kind of put yourself out there? And, you know, we were talking about like the un-resume a little bit before, but yeah, any thoughts on how to kind of showcase your skills, showcase your worth, and kind of gain momentum a little bit in your search as opposed to the other way around?
Yeah. So I think that's the other tough part of the equation for most folks. And I think the reason it's tough is because it manifests itself differently person to person. There is no one-stop solution to this is how you show your work, because otherwise it would just be your resume or an interview, the same thing that's boilerplate and passed on. I think this is actually a great example of something like that, right? You have a podcast that has a lot of sway, a lot of really interesting people, great content that I love when I see it on LinkedIn. And that showcases who you are, what your interests are, and the kind of motivation, energy, interest, and work you put into a project when you decide to put it out there. For you, it's a podcast. For someone else, it might be a newsletter. For someone else, it might be a blog. It may be a portfolio of art. It could be pictures, videos. Any medium for work, essentially, is the first piece where you can pour your energy into something that really matters to you. And then the second piece is figuring out, where do I want to talk about it? Not because you want to be self-promoting, but simply because you want to put your work out there for feedback, for opinions, and for value. And when people see that generosity, I think it tends to come back in turn.
And it seems like it's possible to start projects when you're, you know, in college, in high school. And yeah. And I like that idea about which medium, right? Because that's as you start gaining momentum and consistency, then it starts, I think.
Snowball.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So you started a bunch of different projects, and do you see that as an important thing for people? And how can people start projects? And maybe we could talk about a little bit of like the 3x3s that I think that you do that are amazing. But I think, like, you know, it's like, where do I get a project is definitely something that I know people wrestle with. And be curious, given that you've started a bunch of different projects, like how to get in that kind of project mindset.
Yeah. So that's something I talk about a lot with students, but my approach in general is not to start a project, but to solve a problem. Because I think when you frame it as starting a project, we tend to get caught up in the trap of, I need to have a genius idea. I need to have something that I know is going to work. And that is, again, just ever so rarely how things actually happen in real life. And if you've ever listened to, I'm sure you have, the podcast, How I Built This, those founding stories of even the world's biggest companies, your Airbnbs, your Googles, showcase just how long it takes for those types of solutions to really be accepted in a market. Because most of the time, what you're trying to do is fix a problem that you see as valuable. So I'll take a really famous company as an example, right? Google. They said the state of search as it exists isn't really easy. You don't get great results. You had Yahoo, Ask Jeeves, all these different search engines competing essentially for backlinks, because the game of the internet at that time was how many times could you serve up people ads. So it wasn't about relevant content. It was about your content and having the most. When Google created a search algorithm that was truly delivering relevant content, they took it to 34, 37 different investors, and every time we're told, you're leading people away from the website. That's the opposite of what search is intended to do to make money. And they even tried to sell out, I believe, to a man named Bell like $1 million or something, and he turned them down. So that understanding of you need to be a problem solver, not an idea maker, is the first way I think you start on projects. And then from there, it's really just about figuring out what the problem is, talking to people who experience that problem. Are you going to try and bootstrap it? Are you going to try and make it venture capital? Do you need to think about that? Most frankly, not in the beginning, because you're doing it for fun. And when you actually start solving a problem, even if it takes time and perseverance, I think small or big, you're providing value to somebody. And that's what matters. You can figure out the rest of the equation from there in some way.
I love that. Yeah, it's interesting. It's like, I think I started the podcast because I had a new kind of lifestyle and I had people asking me like, you know, who are you? I see this, I see that, I see that. And I couldn't really describe like what a portfolio, a portfolio of skills, a portfolio of projects, multi-potentialite, I couldn't really describe it, but I saw a bunch of other people that were operating that way. And then, you know, like right around that same time, then I learned about the podcasting fellowship and I was like, boom, okay, here we go. And, it's just crazy how that kind of, how that all happened.
Yeah. I mean, you solved a problem directly relevant in your own life and you're still solving it, right?
It still is a problem. Yeah.
More content you put out there, the more people you're helping.
If only it helps me. That's all I really care about. But, if it, more obviously amazing, but, it is a personal problem. All right. And so then life school, let's talk about that. I think that that's, has one of the best names of a program. So, and I saw you, you know, kind of, I don't know what stage it was at, but it's really cool to see where it is now compared to when we were in the Alt MBA together and kind of see the evolution. And I loved how you were like, here's a new landing page. What do you all think? And even just in those couple of weeks to see the iterations and then to where it is now. But maybe talk to us a little bit about like, yeah, the problem that you think Life School is solving.
Thank you. I appreciate the, I guess, blanking on a word, but affirmation of the name. It's so hard to pick a name and I still go back and forth on whether or not that's a good one. So I'm a fan of that. On the idea with Life School, so going back to when we were in Alt MBA together, at that time, I was really at a juncture trying to figure out what I was going to do next. Because I had started a previous company that had gone quite well with a group of really close friends in the previous year, but had left for personal reasons and team dynamic reasons, essentially. And then was finishing out the year teaching at high school, computer science and entrepreneurship, and wasn't sure what was next for me. I could have decided to go full-time into teaching at that high school, which was an amazing growing opportunity. I could have potentially started a new venture, done my own independent thing, taken up another job. The options were plentiful. And so Alt MBA came at like a really great time in transition for me, because meeting folks like you or Steven or Chris or like everyone in my learning groups really helped push my thinking and challenge me to think better and above. And what I realized there was I still care a lot about the problems that we had been solving with my previous company, and I wanted to work in that domain in some way. And so after talking to a bunch of students like you talked about, I realized that there is a huge pain point for a lot of folks who don't fit into the I'm going to go into finance, tech, and consulting bubble right out of college, because it is so difficult to figure out what else is there. How do I get there? What's the most effective ways to get there? And so that was the initial premise for Life School. And it pivoted and shifted a lot along the way. At some point, we were playing around with high school students. At some point, we were really just focusing on college students. I went through a co-founder who was really passionate about the project, but was at a different life stage and just couldn't commit to it. And so now where we've arrived is we ran a very small winter program, ironically geared at getting college students who were transitioning into careers to sign up, receiving none of that, and instead getting students who had graduated and are in their first or second jobs looking to transition into their next jobs. And so we ran a very small, like 5 or 6 person type program where I really worked more one-on-one with those students. So we adapted and shifted to the situation and circumstance, and now are essentially talking to those students, some universities, and some businesses about the new design for the program. Because if the pain point is, I don't know what exists, I don't know what I like, and I don't know how to build those skills, I think the multi-pronged solution is exposure to lots of different careers, real projects that are short and spurt and identify what you like and don't like, and people, mentors, and community that help figure out what those skills are, help push your thinking around building them, and do that in a cohesive way. So that's much more than we've ever offered in one-on-one coaching or programs. But if we can partner with the right companies to design projects, with the right universities to talk to students, and then build that pipeline through in some way, we're hopefully going to run a test this summer and see what that would look like.
Amazing. Yeah. Those are definitely three big pain points for people. Each one of them is big. And then when you combine all three, it really creates a really nice suite of services.
Thank you. That's the dream. We'll see. We're going to struggle. Yeah.
Okay. And so I love how you have this one quote of like, passion is not found, it's created.
Yeah.
And also you've talked a lot about, I think, you know, even people that are working at these large companies and stuff and how a lack of fulfillment and stuff. And I think like these days, you know, there's no shortage of places to feel like you're not worthy enough because of what other people are, you know, posting. And but I feel like if you have passion and you have excitement about whatever you're doing, then you're fine. How do you think about how people can get confidence in, you know, in themselves and in the work that they're doing? Is it a certain type of work? And that's why a multi-potentialite is a good idea if you, you know, do one thing and then, you know, you're also a coach or a teacher on the side and get fulfillment that way. Any thoughts on kind of like, a balance or a mix of call it projects and work that might be a little bit more helpful than otherwise for people?
Yeah, I think it's a complicated question, but a really, really relevant one. Like you were saying, there's a couple of pieces to it. So there's the external versus the internal component of motivation. And so one of the reasons I like that quote too about passions are created, not found, is because the way we always discuss passions, it's like, you wake up one day and a passion falls on your doorstep and you're like, wow, that's the thing I've loved my whole life, which just is a fairy tale. It's not true. You realistically, I think, go through a lot of dirt, a lot of mud, some bad experiences and some good ones, and then some neutral ones. And then at the end of all of that, which there never really is an end, but at different stages, you can say to yourself, what do I want to invest more time in becoming good at and realizing where I can learn? So to that component, the intrinsic or external motivation, I think a lot of it has to come from heavy reflection, kind of like we did in Alt MBA, that was entirely reflection-based, a lot of self-assessment and the freedom and flexibility to pivot. Because what you thought or believed 1 year, it's allowed to change. That's fine. I've had my own opinions on things change quite drastically in the last year. And especially when you're young, especially when you're starting out and you just don't know what you don't know, that is okay. But I think we are so afraid of saying, I thought that last week and I've learned some new information, realized maybe I was wrong, and that's fine. That is okay because that's learning and growth. Then the other big component of what I think you're talking about with finding or creating that passion is being okay with failing at it, because not everything is going to work your way, but our school systems and the way that we learn in class is so geared towards the first time you hit anything below that A mark, you're just told you're not good at it. So people self-define as not math, not science, not English. Whereas realistically, when you're trying to build passions for yourself, like the doorstep analogy, it's not just going to come easy on the first go. And so building that muscle of, okay, I failed at that, removing the negative fear of failure and saying, okay, that's fine. That's a step among the path to grow. Do I want to continue pursuing that? Is really the habit that we want to build that I don't think we have naturally built into ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, being a student in life school and Alt MBA or other programs to develop, to test things and to experiment and, you know, throw up some of those old ideas and, you know, see what you can kind of do with them in a short period, but know that the stakes are so low.
Right. It's a safe space, essentially, for you to experiment with things, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Yash, what would you say to the listener that's had a little bit of success or has, you know, at least some clarity of where they're going? You know, what do you think is like the one thing or one skill or, you know, one blog post or one thing that you think that they should do that you think that most people miss?
Mm-hmm. So just to clarify, are you asking about like a one resource that I think people really love or like a one consideration that people should think about?
I'd say consideration.
Mm.
Because you've talked to so many different people in so many different like ways. And, you know, I'm sure there's some kind of pattern matching of like, well, I talked to this person at one point, they were, you know, were struggling with this. And then 3 months later, I saw them then do this. And any kind of thoughts on what you've seen has kind of worked for people over time?
Yeah. You know, there's so many things that it's really tough to pick one, but what's really coming to mind at this moment is that you're not alone. And if you feel alone, you should reach out to people, because I think having someone you can talk to about your issues that can be a solid sounding board helps in all sorts of areas. So the things I'm thinking of are a lot of people, like a big pattern, going back to the matching question, is that folks feel more tied down than they actually are. When you ask someone, what would that look like if it was easy and fun? More often than not, the barriers that we've constructed for why we stay where we are or succumb to things that we think we have to are not necessarily real. They're just imagined. But that's really hard. Like, you cannot get out of those holes by yourself. I've found myself in plenty, and I'm sure I will find myself in plenty more. And so it's at those moments when I talk to folks like you or people from my Alt MBA cohort, people from school, college, mentors, those are the people along the journey, whether you're building your own thing or not, who can really say, I've had this experience, it's mine. That doesn't mean it's going to be yours, but here's my perspective. And that broadens your understanding in such a way that I think it helps you see things you haven't seen before.
All right, Yash, is there anything else? I know we covered a lot here, and I feel like I could talk to you for so much longer.
Michael.
And I know you've got a lot of different, and some people should follow up because you have an extensive, call it, resource list of, you know, call it skills to, like, I remember in Alt MBA, it was like, someone was like, how do I want to do work and listen to music? And you're like, Brain FM. Someone was like, I want to, do you know Zoom? Like, it was just like all of these different things. So I would encourage people to follow up with you and about, yeah, just a list of specialized resources. Maybe you should put that on your website someday of just like,
I'm going to write that down actually. Yeah.
Tools or resources that have been helpful in the past.
Yeah, I think that's probably one of my most interesting hobbies, is continually finding things that help me take back time in the day or make things easier. So always love sharing that with people whenever they ask.
Yeah.
Glad it's been helpful. Yeah.
Totally. Cool. Well, please let listeners how they can let people know how they can follow up and support so many of your many efforts.
Appreciate that. Thank you for having me, by the way. But you can always reach out to me at my email directly. So that's my first name, Yash, YASHTEK96@gmail.com. And then if you're curious about finding out more about me, you can go to my personal website, which is myfullname.com, or the Life School website, which we're currently revamping. So go to the first two if you hear this sooner rather than later.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Yash. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, David. Appreciate all the work that you've done with the podcast.
Hey, friend. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of Portfolio Career Podcast. Wanted to also let you know about my monthly newsletter called One Email Away, where I fundamentally believe that we are all one email away from new opportunities. And if there's a way that I could potentially help you to connect with other people, I would love to do that. So One Email Away, you can sign up for my newsletter on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. You can also see the One Email Away section. But just want to take this moment to say thank you for listening to this episode. Really excited for us to build and grow our portfolio careers together.